Rabbi Yosef Goldberg, who is, besides knowing about chemical oleochemicals, he also is a big Talmud Chacham. So it's a big covet for me to introduce Rabbi Yosef Goldberg. The session's over when they come for Mincha.
Right.
Of course, if you want to dive in for the quarter after two, we can work that out also. You want to speak into the mic?
Yeah, please, yeah.
That does mean that's special.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Fellow is a young, when you're older, you're going to be going for blood tests and looking at triglycerides and cholesterol and things like that. Triglyceride is a term that refers to any fat or oil. Fat is generally solid and oil is a liquid, but every fat and oil is a triglyceride.
How do you spell it?
TRIGLYCERIDE.
Slower, please.
TRIGLYCERIDE, GLYCERIDE. A triglyceride looks like this. Next year we'll make a screen or whatever. But it has the beginnings of a glycerin molecule attached in the middle with this O2C, which is in a unique configuration. It's called an ester configuration. That's why these things are sometimes called also triesters, triglycerides, triesters. An ester is where a C is attached to two oxygen bonds, one with a double bond and one with a single bond. And that little, this configuration gives tremendous properties to esters. So you have in a triglyceride, you have an ester configuration in the middle, and attached, R stands for some type of chain of continuing C's attached to H's, which are fatty, and then ultimately OH's, which are fatty, C's and H's, which are fatty acids.
Why would a mashgiach have to know this?
Really, a mashgiach, aside from just having some familiarity with the basic chemistry and sounding that he knows a little bit when he goes into a plant, so it's not all a mystery to him. It's good actually to know and understand, because these are the building blocks in emulsifier plants, fatty acids in particular. I think you have a sheet in your folder which demonstrates, you know, every fat, every oil has a different group. It always has the major beginnings, but the fat or oil is determined.
Have your book here, it's your loose leaf. It's G1.
Corn oil, or soybean oil, or palm oil will have this. Will have various different chains of fatty acids. And those combinations of chains of fatty acids that are attached to the basic glycerin portion, that determines what the nature of the oil is, whether it's a corn oil or a soy oil or a coconut oil and the like. Now, glycerin is the, if we get the fatty acids and fatty alcohols, glycerin is a very important topic in kashrus. It appears in many different types of industries. In the baking industry, it's sweet. It gives sweetness. It also is a humectant. It moisturizes things. It keeps things moist. It also is, in and of itself, a basic emulsifier.
What is an emulsifier?
You know what an emulsifier is? An emulsifier is a chemical that makes sholom between two things that don't have sholom. You know, you can't mix water and oil, right? If you mix them together after a certain amount of time, the oil is lighter, it'll separate it. Water and oil don't get along. But it happens to be glycerin has one side which is hydrophilic, means it likes water. That side attaches onto water. And it has another side which is lipophilic, which likes fat, And it can hold the water and fat in place. That's what emulsifiers do. They take chemicals, water and oil, whatever, and they make sholem. And they make sholem between them. So, glycerin, when you split apart, when you break down any fat or oil, that means whether it's corn oil or although there's a real glycerin production from corn oil, soybean oil, yes, soy, whether it's coconut oil, whether it's lard, whether it's tallow, what's going to come out after the glycerin is purified of its fatty acids? Its fatty acids are all removed out of the mixture. What's left when you have pure glycerin? It's all identical. And there's such a thing also referred to it as synthetic glycerin that comes from petroleum. It's been a different process. So, in contrast now, the question is, what's the status of a glycerin that comes from tallow or from lard? So, generally there's a principle that Dover Hayosi Min HaAsir is Asir. And that's normative halacha today. It's interesting, the Achiezer, one of the greatest poskim of the last century, he happens to mention one of his siman Yud Aleph. He has a long arichus in the middle somewhere. He says that anything which is not found naturally in nature, in other words, you can't just mechanically separate it and find it. Granted, you have triglycerides in your body and your bloodstream, but again, no doctor can put a pump into you and just squeeze it out. It has to be broken down from the blood and laboratory conditions. But in the industrial world, it can only be made in a huge reactor, smaller reactor, but under special industrial conditions. So Rav Chaim Ozer said that whatever cannot be found naturally in nature, but when he bases it on a ran in Psachim, but which can only be created in a factory, he said that's ponim chadashos bolukan. It's a totally new substance. It's not dover yosim in aser. So he was at least quoted in by other later later achronim in. The psak was not accepted by the majority of poskim, but there's a Sri Deyesh, for instance, that talks about it's an interesting tshuva. It talks about the whole concept of what's considered v'batal yisur l'chatchila, and he's talking about a liqueur where they added glycerin in, and the glycerin was batal. But is that considered v'batal, since a lot of their customers are Jews? Are the mabatas, it's a machlokas rishonim and machlokas achronim, but that's considered the mabatal for the Eden, and as a result be usher to them. And at the end, he's lenient, and he says also in the fact that since it's batal, and since Rav Chaim Ozer holds it's not a problem to begin with, so he uses a sniff lahakil in a case of beetle where it's batal to begin with. And others quote Rav Chaim Ozer, that refer to the same tshuva in the same fashion, but it's not normative halacha. Normative halacha is that it's considered a dover, a chepsav. If it came from a pig, it's a chepsav of pig. If it came from a cow, it's a chepsav of cow. If it comes from coconut, it's a chepsav of coconut. And even so far, and you're not so sure why, by Pesach also, that glycerin that comes from soy is viewed as kidneyous. By rapeseed, there are some European certifiers that are machshir rapeseed for Ashkenazim for Pesach. But our poskim hold A, that it's that rapeseed oil that it's kidneyous. There's various difference of opinion about certain things, but in pit being kidneyous, A, it's kidneyous, and B, the rapeseed, interesting, the rapeseed oil from Canada, what it's called? I'll give you a hint. It's in the name itself indicates Canada. Canola oil, right. Canola oil is rapeseed oil that comes from Canada. and has slightly different properties than the European rapeseed oil and like. But I've heard from Rabbi Duravel that the rotating crop that they use is oats. And as a result, there is a certain amount of oats that's found in the processing of rapeseed oil in canola oil. So it might be mamish chamish, issues involved. So you have over here glycerin, first of all. So you have to make sure the glycerin is coming from a kosher source.
Can I interrupt you for a moment?
Yeah,
you
sure.
said that Reb Chaim said that if it's not found naturally in nature, then it is...
Right, glycerin is that type of thing. Right. You can't make glycerin. Yeah.
I don't know exactly how glycerin is made, but obviously it's made obviously with tallow or lard, which are trapes. So what percentage of the glycerin is tallow or lard?
It's coming from tallow and lard, but by the time you're done, it has no relationship whatsoever to tallow and lard. It's putting chadoshes bolakan. It's a whole different chepsa. It's the same exact glycerin as if you made it from coconut. It's the same exact glycerin as if you made it from peanut. It's the oil. If you made it from soybean oil, the exact same glycerin. And nobody in the world will be able to tell you which where it came from.
But what I mean to say is, let's say there are three ingredients that are three chemicals that are necessary to make glycerin from tallow and lard. Let's say take tallow and two other ingredients. Does that mean it's one third is coming from
Again, when you're finished with the glycerin is not made up of other ingredients. Glycerin is made by breaking down a molecule, splitting is the most common means of getting glycerin, by splitting apart this triglyceride and breaking it apart. If you're eating other chemicals, it's just a split, but they don't join. They can react.
So one second. So you're taking tallow or lard, and you're splitting the molecule of tallow or lard.
Right, exactly. Right? And Rav Chaim holds that molecule that's left over. I mean, since it resembles the exact same molecule that comes from corn, that comes from soy, that comes from coconut oil, that comes from peanut oil, that molecule is no longer has any relationship to tallow. It raised the question like this. Let's say the only way in a chemical reaction you get water out of something, Trev. I mean, in a pig, I mean, if you can get it out, you know, I guess your glands contain water and the like. But if you could just, you know, melt it down, the human body is what, 98% water, they say? Say somebody could destroy human body and make water like that. Would it be Dovra Yotzi Menos or not? I mean, according to it probably would be. But it's going to resemble any other type of water, assuming that the human body has that DNA. Cannabis might be Sid Rabbanon. But in terms of any other type of factor, it happens to be glycerin is the same as, once glycerin is made, you can't identify what its source is. Whether its source is petroleum, whether its source is soybean, whether its source is coconut. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the world, he did us a big favor. The glycerin, years ago, nobody used glycerin. It wasn't available. But glycerin is now used. It's used in, for instance, when you find glycerin in toothpaste, you know what it's there for? It's humectant. It keeps things moist. If you didn't have the glycerin in the toothpaste and you didn't put another ingredient to replace it, the toothpaste would be as hard as a brick. It's the glycerin that keeps it moist. The tobacco industry, the cigarette industry, uses glycerin. Why? Because if you took a piece of dried tobacco and you lit it up, it would burn like paper. It would burn right away. So they put in glycerin into the tobacco, and that keeps it moist, so it burns slowly. All right, it burns slowly. I was suggesting years ago that a lot of the tobacco companies are using vegetable glycerin, but that if we told people, it's in terms of being over but you told them that there's trephis in the cigarette, that you probably stopped that, cut down a lot of smoking in yeshivas, and the like. No, there's not much of an issue over there. There's no chametz to glycerin that I know of. Worse is kidney issues.
If If I leave toothpaste out, obviously it will become very hard. Does that mean the glycerin dries up?
It might. I don't know. I never seen toothpaste get dry. You know, it can become hard.
If I take off the cap and I leave it,
and you put it out,
I leave it half a year without a cap.
So I don't know. I've never experimented like that. All right, might.
I'm just worrying if the glycerin dries out. That's all.
It might. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never experimented in those lines. I don't know. But anyhow, so you have glycerin. The normal way of splitting is by taking something like, let's say, sodium hydroxide or caustic, or putting under pressure with hydrogenation, adding a lot of water under pressure and under heat, and that splits the triglyceride apart, and it adds, you get some water molecules and parts of water molecules, and water is H2O, and you get over here glycerol. OH is assigned chemically of an alcohol. We call it glycerin, but it's also called glycerol by chemists. It's an alcohol, and you're left with the glycerin, and you're left with the rest of the fatty acids on the side. That's normal splitting. Nobody makes glycerin for the sake of making glycerin. Glycerin is always by the byproduct. You want the fatty acid, you want fatty alcohol. There is a another means called transesterification. You don't have to write this down, where they take methane and they put it in with the triglyceride, with the fat or the oil, and the methane combines with the ester and creates what's called methyl esters, which are used in the flavor industry. Methyl esters. And then, again, the methyl esters are recombined. You have glycerin left over. You know, methyl esters are recombined with, I think, either hydrogenated, and you're left off with what's now a fatty alcohol. Fatty alcohols are used mostly in the detergent business. It's the backbone, the basis for surfactants. Surfactants are the part of the detergent that gets the dirt out of your shirts or whatever. Fatty alcohols. So you have fatty alcohols, fatty acids, methyl esters, and glycerin. As I said before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in this world a section of the world called Malaysia and also Indonesia. Indonesia is an interesting country. I think there are always constant revolutions going on over there. There are 15,000 islands in Indonesia, 5,000 of which are inhabited. There's one was a shul rabbi. I know I was offered a vacation a week in every island in Indonesia. all right. Anyhow, so Indonesia is one country, and Malaysia is the other country that's very rich in palm trees. Philippines, to some degree, also. They're very rich in palm trees. And from the palm tree, you get four sources of glycerin and fatty acids, or fatty alcohols, or methyl esters. Four different triglycerides. One is palm kernel oil. Part of the tree is a palm kernel. Then you have coconut oil. There's a product that's made of palm stearine oil, which they break down.
What's that again?
Palm stearine, right? Palm stearine oil, palm kernel oil, coconut oil, and I think plain palm oil also from the palm itself has a certain oil to it.
But the palm of a person?
No, palm, the tree.
Oh, the palm of the tree.
Right.
Oh.
So, and these also happen to be Muslim countries who don't have pigs, and they also be very hot. There's not a big cow industry, so you don't have tallow there. But they have lots of coconut, lots of palm. Okay, so there's palm oil, palm kernel oil, palm stearine oil, and coconut oil. And that's a source of a lot of glycerin. Now, if you look at this chart that you have, let's see, approximate chain length distribution of regular use fats and oils. So, you'll notice caprylic acid is found only in coconut. Caprylic acid is in coconut and palm kernel oil, but it's not coming from an animal. Capric acid, coconut, and palm kernel. Lauric acid, C12, coconut, and palm kernel. Myristic already is found in tallow, but mostly coconut and palm kernel oil. When you get the palmitic, the largest source of is palm and palm stearine, but there's also a large amount in edible tallow. one of the most important of the fatty acids is CHI, C18. Fatty acids are linear chains. C18 is stearic acid. And that's a very important fatty acid that's used a lot in emulsifiers. Stearic acid. So stearic acid is already a problem because the majority of stearic acid comes from tallow. But also there's significant amounts that come from palm stearine, some a little bit from soybean oil, a little bit from canola oil also. You see these charts. There's one oil which is not too common. Most of these, fatty acids, most of these fatty acids are multiples of two. They're even. The one oddity, C17 margaric acid, its only source is TRAF. Okay. Now,
are they all used for the same products? Like margaric acid is used for the same product as the other acids?
I don't know if it's used for anything. I really don't. It's a very uncommon thing. Even then, it's a very small amount comes from tallow. I don't know what it's used in. I don't know. But it's a TRAF. It's TRAF. So the major trick in hashgacha, of course, when you come to a plant, whether it's methyl esters or fatty alcohols or fatty acids or glycerin, you have to make sure that it's a kosher source. When I was new here, I didn't know that Indonesian glycerin is virtually always, if not always, kosher. So Mashiach found a glycerin from Indonesia, in a plant, you have to have a hashgacha. Truth of the matter is, it would have been accepted, there should have been accepted, just on the basis of the fact that it came from Indonesia, that the drum set product of Indonesia.
How do we know that anything they could be using? It's that it's not also bad, it's also bad enough for them to use.
I'm sorry, what?
They could be using pigs?
No, they're just not. They don't have. They don't. They're by Muslims, they don't use pigs because it's a Muslim country. It's a Muslim country, and it's a very hot country. So you don't have a big cow population. Like you don't have an Eretz Yisrael, Lahavdil. You don't have tremendous. It's hot and not suitable for cow for bovine populations.
What were the items listed if you come to a plant and there's methyl esters or what?
Methyl esters, fatty acids, fatty alcohols, and glycerin itself, right?
Wouldn't you say glycerin is okay because it's a davach?
No, we don't pass like that, Rav. We don't pass like the Achiezer there. Nobody passes like that, except is it sad in a question of a bitul lechatchila if it's bottled. But not we don't pass them like the Achiyas. No, nobody does it, I know of. So glycerin has, I mentioned, uses in many, many industries. In the baking industry, it keeps the dough moist, also it has some sweetness, cooking, baking. It keeps things moist, and it's a very basic did Rabbi Grossman say, you're getting another lecture on emulsifiers and stabilizers?
Yes.
You'll find that glycerin is a major yesod, and certainly the fatty acids, in the emulsifier industry. Those are the basic components of most emulsifiers. Now you can take, and here's something that you should be aware of. There is a machlokis between the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas. The Rabbeinu Yonah holds that if you have something that naturally, and remember Rav Chaim Ozer was talking about not naturally, talking about something that's done only in factories, but naturally something changes. It oxidizes, it ages, whatever it happens to it, and it changes and it no longer resembles the original thing. And what he's dealing with is musk, which he holds is dried up blood in the musk ox, which is a kosher animal, but blood is treif. And Rabbeinu Yonah holds that not only musk, is a good spice and like, as good as besomim, as a scent, but it can be used as a kosher spice because it's nishtane. Even though it comes from the blood, from the damim of the dam of the animal. And the Rush argues, and the Rush doesn't hold from the sin of Nishtana. So the general consensus in Psak, the Pribagonim says like this, is that by Isuri D'Oraisa, we hold like the Rush, we don't say Nishtana. By Isuri D'Rabbanon, we do say Nishtana. By Isuri D'Rabbanon. So an Isuri D'Rabbanon would be, let's say, would be Kidneyus on Pesach, or Minug, right. There's a whole lumbus of whether a minig is worse than an Isur D'Rabbanon or not, but generally the consensus is that a minig is less than Isur D'Rabbanon. The Isur D'Rabbanon is more severe than minig. Even minig has its roots in the Darim. But minig is less. So you have one of the popular types of emulsifiers are called polysorbates. Polysorbates. And a polysorbate is made with a fatty acid that combines with sorbitol. Sorbitol is an isomer of sugar. It's sugar where the molecules are spun around in a certain way. They don't have the regular configuration. Same number of molecules of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, like, but it's they're spun around so that the somehow or other it's not absorbed in a by a person who has Rachmanis and diabetes. Right, sorbitol, by the way, is a, again with the OL, is an alcohol. So we maintain the following. By Pesach, you can take a corn-derived sorbitol, and it's coming from corn dextrose, let's say, the sorbitol, and you can react it with coconut fatty acid, stearic acid, let's say, from coconut oil, but not stearic acid or not a fatty acid coming from soybean oil, not from kidneys. Why? Because the sorbitol is sweet, and the ultimate product, the polysorbate, is very bland. It has no taste whatsoever. Very bland. Very, very bland. The oil, on the other hand, is also bland. Oil doesn't have much of a taste to it either. So there's not much machinery going from oil to the, in terms of taste, to the polysorbate. But from the sorbitol, there is a big machinery. Since it's the Rabbanon, it's enough of a machinery. Not everybody holds from this kula. We get involved with this with there are kidneyous elements in the NutraSweet, right? In the NutraSweet, the aspartame. So a lot of people don't hold from this, lying on the Rebbeinu Yonah and Nishtan and the like. But here, there's a radical change going from something sweet to something bland. So the sorbitol can be kidneyous derived, but the fatty acid has to be what? Has to be Pesedic, totally, because it's not that much of a change. Again, in determining change, so it's interesting.
Aspartame remains sweet?
Aspartame is sweet. It's a sweetener.
And originally was what?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Was kidneys originally?
It was kidney. There was kidneys component to it, yeah.
So then it was not Nishtana.
It was Nishtana 100 times.
No, but around. I'm saying here the taste was Nishtana.
I'm not sure what the part of the kidney is, what, but there were so many shinuyim involved that at a certain point it's not sweet. It's a totally different chemical, so much so that a person can eat the kidney as it comes from, right? But has a fetal kidney, whatever it's called, a warning on the bottles. But such a person cannot eat, give me more seconds, but such a person cannot eat the aspartame, it would be deadly to that person, right? So it changes around completely. It's a totally different, the total chemically, it's entirely different. Where it has dangerous sakana to some people, whereas the natural kidneys don't have those dangers. So this issue by Pesach, I just to tell you, it's an interesting thing. It discussed what constitutes the element of change in Asman D'Oraisa. And one of the pieces that Asman D'Oraisa of Yosef Engel, I'm going to get started with this. All right, but anyhow, that's the basics. You have glycerins, fatty acids, fatty alcohol, and methyl. No, And methyl esters. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot about it.